All right, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. My name is Crystal. I'm the Hot Widow of Eric. And with me tonight, I have a full house. I have the Hot Widow of Ross, the boss, Allie.
Hello.
I have the very Hot Widow of Garner, current wife of Paul.
Hello.
Miss Becky's in the house. And Sarah, the very Hot Widow of Nick.
Hello.
And we have a ton of things to update our audience on tonight. Specifically, Becky and Sarah are going to talk about their Moroccan adventure, where we're all at in our journey, and basically just hit the ground running. So, Al, what do we got tonight?
You have some big news to share.
We did the golf tournament.
We did.
Bomb diggity.
Ooh, we did.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. That was so fun. Single-handedly, like, the largest thing I've done since Eric died.
It's amazing. Like, so proud of both of you for putting that together, organizing it, and, like, what a positive way to honor both of them and, like, all of the women or all of the widows and widowers that were able to participate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have words for it.
I don't either.
To be honest, I was thinking about it today, like, how am I going to describe how I was feeling or feeling now? I really don't know how to describe it other than it was like an out-of-body experience of just feeling a lot of different things. So Ross loved to golf, and I used to golf with Ross all the time, and I hadn't been on a golf course since Ross. So there was these feelings of sadness because I missed him, but also overwhelming support and love from all of our friends and his friends and family. And it was just a lot. And it was a really long day, but I'm so glad we did it. And I'm like really excited to do it next year. And we've had so many people, you know, give us such good feedback on everything.
It was magical. First of all, you guys, Allie, badass golfer. I didn't know what to expect. Girlfriend walked out there with a club and was like, here we go, bitches. And she was good. Even our Body by Trey, we golf with Body by Trey and Hot Widow Connie. And even Trey the next day was like, Allie's a really good golfer.
I hadn't golfed in 4 years. And you guys, I have my grandmother's golf set. So like, that's what I'm golfing with. It's not like high tech, like not at all. This is from like the 50s.
These vintage.
Very vintage. The wood, you know, the woods were like, they're really little heads.
It was cool.
But it's just, I don't know. It was just fun to be. I loved our team.
Yeah.
So it was Crystal, Connie, who we've had on here, and then Body by Trey. Mm-hmm. And which he doesn't go by Body by Trey.
So he absolutely hates it.
Yeah.
You guys haven't met Body by Trey, have you?
I have not.
So
not
many
yet.
People have gotten to experience him over the past year that he's probably wishing he never had to deal with. But he was great.
And it was beautiful out. Like the weather was absolutely perfect. Like leading up to it, I was so worried about like a thunderstorm lightning because we would have to cancel it. And so it just turned out to be beautiful. It got a little hot.
Yeah.
But.
And right as it ended, it did downpour.
It did
remember
downpour.
We drove home in the rain?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was absolutely perfect. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the way I would describe it is like total euphoria. And so I got there that day. I have no idea what I'm doing. I have never put on an event of that nature. I've never done a golf scramble. So I didn't even know where to start. I don't think Allie did either. Mm-mm. But what Allie and I are so blessed with is the amazing people in our life who just make everything so easy for us. And they just showed up and they're like, okay, what did you do? And we give it to them. Like, okay, great. We've got it from here. And the people that we are so lucky to have just are like, and we'll take it. You don't have to ask us any questions. And they made it so easy for us. Mm-hmm. And so when I got out on that golf course, I just remember feeling complete like content. Like I felt really good, just total peacefulness. I don't know if that was Eric. I was not a golfer. He was a golfer. He loved to golf. It was his thing. He always wanted me to go. And I'm like, no, I'm too busy raising the kids. I don't have time for this. But, you know, he showed up that day for me and I've felt his presence like so much since then. Almost feel like that rain was him giving a sigh of relief for what we did. And I was, you know, I always relate that to like Eric, to nature, to things I see. You know, I might be a crazy hippie, but
love that. That's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. When I see those things, it just feels like signs to me.
Yeah. I always feel like the weather is Ross. Like many times it's raining and it's like, I feel like he's crying too. Like it always seems to follow my mood. But yeah, I felt the same way. I felt at peace when we were on the golf course. I was obviously worried. I'm the type of person, I want everybody to have fun. Crystal knows this about me. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot have fun unless everybody's having fun. Like, I'm just that, especially when I'm putting on something. And so I felt like everybody was having fun on the golf course. So it, like, I could just ease.
Yeah.
And I felt Ross. And
you were honestly, so calm that day.
I was. But I had people surrounding me that were just there. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just mm-hmm. like, I've never felt so much support from like Ross's friends. Obviously, they were there for the funeral and all of yeah. them, but I hadn't seen a lot of them since then. And so it was just, I don't know, it just meant a lot to me, the yeah. people that showed up.
Me too. I was, so Sarah's been chauffeuring me around town. Ironically, we had a widow event the other night, and then her name went out the other night. And I felt Nick. Ah. So when you were fumbling with the map,
yeah,
like I didn't want to bring up widow stuff like when yeah. we were going out because totally. It's like sometimes you just want to forget that you're a widow.
Right.
And so, but like she's fumbling with this map, but yet she figures out where to go. And I've just felt this connection at that totally. Moment.
Where he would have, although interestingly enough, he wasn't always like he worked with maps, mm-hmm. but there were moments in our life where he was very anti. So we had taken a trip to Kansas City with some friends years ago, and we kind of got lost. And he did the very like a guy thing where he refused to like stop and ask. And we didn't print anything out because it was just at the cusp of time where you're switching from printing out directions on MapQuest mm-hmm. to starting to be able to have directions on your phone. And he was very techie and we were going to have it on his phone, but then like we didn't have service. And so then he's flustered with that. And I'm annoyed because I had said, oh, we should print this off. And then we've got our friends in the back of the car, like just kind of awkwardly sitting there as we're arguing about like how we're going to get to this place. So I think he'd definitely be proud of my use of being able to figure out technology, which, spoiler alert, the fix was unplug it and plug it back in. totally fixed it. Mm-hmm. But then also just like, again, figuring out the maps and getting us there. Yeah. And it was like two blocks, by the way.
Yeah. So I felt it for sure, though. There was a connection. Aww. Yeah, I did feel that. So yeah, golf tournament, amazing. You did great.
You did great too.
I was so You're proud of team. You. We are a good team. Like we, I don't really know. Are. Someone was, we were actually went to see a band last night. And one of the members of the band is a big fan of our podcast. And like, he just can't wait to hear our next episode, which is so sweet. And absolutely love being able to put this out there for people who aren't widows, because this isn't just about widowhood. This is life. This is navigating shit that goes down every single day.
You know totally. Who's probably one of like the biggest fans of this podcast? My mother. Like, shout out to Jeannie Dale right now. Like, aww. She's listened to every single episode.
Get it,
she
girl.
Gets so excited aww. When the next one comes on. She just is like, just hearing the stories and like not really relating, but like kind of relating and just empathizing and just hearing, I think, how, I don't know, just the bond of all of it and like how we can like slide in the humor. She's obsessed. She loves it. And like, aww. I can't tell you yeah. when like, when I first came on with you girls mm-hmm. a while ago. I had a couple of folks in our family who reached out and they were like, we had no idea. Like they were like, we never even asked.
Oh.
And like, so it's great. So it's interesting to like, even 5 years later, I don't know. So I love what you all have done here.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's so cool that there's such a following and that people are so yeah. excited about it.
It means so much to me. I'm still shocked when people listen.
I am too. I've had people be like, hey, when's the next episode? All you gave us was 3 minutes. We want more than 3 minutes last yeah. week. And I'm like, what? You care?
Yeah. Somebody texted me. Is there something wrong with, because they hadn't listen to it. They're like, it says it's only 5 minutes. I'm like, well, listen.
We're on vacation. We got a lot going on. So
you would know yeah. if you listen.
Yeah. So the golf tournament was big. In hindsight, we didn't have to do much because we had such great people helping us, but it was just, it's big revisiting widowhood when so much life has been going on. And like, as you get further out, like it's, like, it just becomes a part of you. It becomes like who you are and it becomes more private for me. Like my love for Eric, my love for my widowhood has become more private lately. I've reverted back to a little bit more crying in the car, but I don't talk with Allie as much about Eric anymore. Like today I told my kids, like, I'm going to go to my room and write. And I said, I'm probably going to cry, but that's okay. It's just because that's what writing does for me. I'm all right. But I've kind of reverted back to a more private space with my widowhood journey, but trying to focus more on my current space, which is like, hey, do good at work, be a good mom, be a good friend, all those things. And so I think that energy for me was revisiting my widowhood journey again and seeing Eric's friends. Eric has this one friend, so fucking cool, JJ. And every time he would walk past the big picture of Eric, he would kiss it.
Oh,
I know. And he's just like, I just miss that guy. Aww. And it was, that was hard for me to see, but grateful that people still love him.
Yeah.
That made me happy. So other big news.
So I had my hip hop performance.
She was so cute.
We haven't recorded in a while, but it was about a month ago, maybe mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That I did it. And I'm so proud of myself. It was way out of my comfort zone. I had never been on stage before, you guys. Like, this is not who I am. And I was so nervous. My heart was like pounding the whole time during this 3 minutes of performance. But I don't know.
You did great.
You did great.
No, I did it.
You look like a natural.
And you were in the front, too.
I know,
and they only put the really good people in the front.
No, they don't.
Yes, yeah, they do.
I was in dance. That's how it works.
She kept telling me. She's like, I'm not good. I'm not good. And I'm like, bitch, you're in the front.
I think that was by accident.
They know what they're doing. I'm sure it was by accident, Allie. I'm sure they looked at you and they're like, oh.
It was by accident.
How did we accidentally put her in the front and then we're in control, never move her to the back?
Oh, my gosh.
Damn, girl. You act like you're not in business. Come on. You're good at what you do.
It's a little different. I don't know, but... anyways, Crystal came. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You were a stunner.
I need to see this video.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll show you.
Okay.
We had I'm sure you guys all saw Allie's widow night. Our friend Lindsay, who was on, she had put together a couple of widows that she's really close with. And then Becky was going to join, and Sarah joined us too for this painting that we did, which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool to do that. That's when Allie showed the video to the rest of us. The rest of the world
Craig
got to
me.
See. Craig did make her. Craig tried to get her to stream it to the
on
TV.
The TV. I'm like, no.
Thankfully, we couldn't make technology work.
The best was, what I loved was, you have the most beautiful hair. And it was down as you're doing your performance.
Yes.
And then every time you would change positions, you'd be like, that's where I'm at. And we're all like, yeah, we know. We see the hair. Like, we're not watching anyone else. Watching you. And it was amazing.
So cute. Because she kept saying, like, that's me, guys. I'm there. I'm there. And everyone just goes, we know who you are.
I don't know.
It's so out of her comfort zone.
It's so out of my comfort zone.
It's also out of her comfort zone to go to, like, a widow's night out, too. Like, that's out of your comfort zone,
too. That was hard for me. I feel bad. Lindsay, I'm sorry. I was like not responsive. I've just been having a really hard time. Like the last couple of months have been really, really hard for me. And I'm not going to dive into it tonight, mm-hmm. but it's just, I just didn't know if I wanted to go, mm-hmm. but I'm so glad I did.
I am too.
It was so great to see. We met Heather, who mm-hmm. Lindsay created started the night for Heather, who lost her husband like 4 months ago,
three or four months ago.
Mm-hmm. So she's a new widow. And Lindsay wanted to just have us all wrap our arms around Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that was really nice to
mm-hmm.
do that. And just kind of, it brought me back. I didn't get to talk to her a lot, but I was thinking on the ride over there, like, where was I at 3 months, 4 months out? Like, it just makes you kind of relive that and remember that all that pain. Not that it's gone away, but it's like, I've been able to deal with it more, or like
yeah.
cope with it more. But like at that point in time, do you guys remember that? Like
yes.
being 3 months out?
You learn how to manage it over time. But in the moment, how am I ever going to be able to laugh? How am I ever mm-hmm. going to be able to do anything fun or not feel guilty about having a good time?
Smiling.
I was so in awe of her being able to be there, because I was not at that space.
Oh my God, me neither.
Three, 4 months out. Like that would not have been something that I think that I would have been able to do. So that's just so amazing that she was in that place at that time.
Right.
Like, right.
Of course, it's always up and down. It changes from moment to moment, but like it was amazing to get to meet her and hear her story.
Yeah.
I'm having such major FOMO because I wasn't able to make it, because I have had like the shittiest week. And like mm-hmm. you were saying, I will not get into like a lot of that stuff right now. And I just didn't have like mental capacity to like see people
or talk to people. I almost didn't go.
And I feel terrible because like I really, because from like hearing what Sarah has been saying, I'm like, well, damn, I missed a great night. And I'm like, can we get together again so I can meet all these fabulous people?
Yes, baby.
Yes.
And it's like what you were just saying. It's I feel like ironically, I went back to that stage, like your first 3 months or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I blacked out. Like I don't remember anything. Like, I don't remember, like, I know I functioned. I know I went to work. Mm-hmm. I know I took kids to school. I know I did things, but I'm like, I don't remember. Like, it was, like you said, just like survival.
Yes.
You know, so I feel terrible. And I wasn't there for this. We said it was, her name's Heather.
Heather, yeah. Okay. And she might be in survival mode too. We don't know. Yeah. Like,
right.
I drove home crying. Mm-hmm. It's just all emotional. So I'm sure she did too. Yeah. You know, it's just feeling, I'm glad that we were able to be there for her. So she knows that she's not alone. And that's why we did the podcast too. It's just all about showing up and being there. So people don't feel alone.
Right. And feelings are what you feel in the moment, right? You can't change or control them, right? So we don't know how we're going to feel tomorrow after we experience today, right? And so I think it's just so important, like we talked about so much, is to just do what you can do, what works for you, right? And so, Becky, we're going to have so many other nights that we can go out.
I cannot wait.
We are going, for sure. Now that I have some earth-shattering news, maybe it's not earth-shattering. It's not really for me, but I have broken up with McLovin. I had to make a super difficult decision, and that was so hard for me.
Yeah,
that was awful. I didn't know what to do. So, you know, I've been seeing him for a year, and that was a ton. Oh, first of all, I also need to say so when I first met him, Allie and I did call him McLovin, but we stopped like once we realized like I was going to give this a go. But we call him McLovin on the podcast for anonymity. Is that the right word?
Anonymity?
Whatever.
I want to keep his identity anonymous.
That's like, the goal.
Anonymity.
It's like Finding Dory.
Keep him anonymous.
Keep him anonymous.
There you go.
I don't actually call him that. I never called him that after that. So I know many listeners have reached out and they're like, you call him McLovin? No, I don't really, but. But anyways, he's a wonderful man and everything was, you know, as Destiny's Child teaches us, right? I'm not going to bash you on the internet because my mama taught me better than that. So I'm not going to go into details on our breakup, but I will tell you one thing. We broke up in what? April?
Yeah.
Because we were on different paths. So he had goals of having more children and eventually getting married again. And at that moment, like for me, like I'm lucky if I can remember to put on underwear in the morning, right? Like every day is hard. And so like thinking of getting married again is so far-fetched. Like I just need to make sure that my butt is clean.
I'm sorry. I can't imagine not putting underwear on.
Like, let's just start there. But we were on two very different levels too, right? I lead a department within a company. I have three kids. I run a household. I have so many different things going on. A podcast. And, you know, I just couldn't even get to that point, like where I could even open up my heart to say, okay, fine, I'll be considering that. And plus, I'm not having any more kids. And that just, you know, it was hard because every time he'd see a kid, he was like, his face would light up. And I'm like, yeah, that's not happening, bro. Not happening. And so just different paths. And it was good. But I broke up with him and then Allie's like, Crystal, this is going to be hard for you. It's going to be so hard. It's hard to be alone again. And I'm like, no, I'm so strong, Allie. Like, I don't need a man. 2 weeks later, oh, I miss you so much. Mm-hmm. Let's get back together. And then it wasn't me. It was both of us. Like, let's try. Let's see if we can do this. We tried and it just ultimately we were going to be not on the same path. And so, but Allie is right. As usual. Also, Allie is great at reminding me to wear sunscreen. She's also right about that.
I worry about skin cancer. Everybody wears sunscreen.
If it were up to Allie, she'd have me wearing SPF 50 and wearing a fucking 70. Kimono. Or what's it?
Big straw.
Yeah, hat. Like she would have me have a towel over my head when I go out in the sun.
Tell them when we went to the pool the other day.
Oh my God. We go to the pool and I'm sitting poolside in a bikini. Like stretched out, like hands on my head, as bare as I can be. Allie is sitting crunched up in a ball in shorts and a t-shirt with a towel over her head, talking to me like it's normal. Like she's normal.
I was just worried about getting sunburned. I don't know. I just am going to be one of those old ladies that literally is like fully covered under an umbrella. Like I embrace it.
Okay. Rightfully so. I do wear sunscreen. I just don't wear as much as, so I wear like 15 or 30. I wear 30 on my face and my neck and my chest, and I wear 15 on my legs. So I do wear sunscreen. I don't want the world to think I'm reckless, because I am not. I am a steward of safety as a manufacturing professional. Will always be a steward of safety.
But she forgot to wear it on the golf outing.
Oh, and I got burned so bad, you guys. Mm-hmm. It was awful.
Did you see my children's faces?
Mm-mm. No.
They're bright red. They went to the pool today, and I was like, did you even put sunscreen on? And like, they'll just put it in their hands and like barely tap their face. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I failed today again. But yeah, we should talk. Well, I'm sure we'll get to the trip stuff, but I have a funny sunburn story for later. But finish. Sorry. You got sunburn on the golf tournament.
I got sunburn on the golf tournament. Couldn't sleep that night. It was awful. I had to close my blinds in my office because the sun coming in the next morning was bothering me.
That's bad.
I had to text Steve Kane and say, I can't even drive today because the sun is beating down on me. But I didn't peel. It was just like 12 hours. I know peeling, I mean, any sun exposure can be bad, but peeling is really bad too for you. So, Allie, I promise. Oh, speaking of promise, if you guys haven't heard this song yet, I really want you guys to check it out. It's called Promise, or I think The Promise. It's a cover by Sturgill Simpson. What a badass song. I'm in love with it right now. When you hear it, you're going to be like, I know that song from somewhere. Hit us up on Instagram at Hot Widows Club Podcast, or send us an email at hotwidowsclubpodcast@gmail.com, and I will fill in the blank where you've heard that song before. But I'm not going to tell you now. No spoiler alerts.
Perry's Place? Is that where we heard that?
We did go to Perry's Place last night, and I broke out some super sweet dance moves when they did also cover that song too.
But you're doing okay with the breakup.
I am doing okay with the breakup. It's hard. To like something you put so much work into. And I really tried to try a lot because we just weren't an instant match. And so there was a lot of trying and a lot of growing that I did for sure in that relationship. I learned a lot. I know there's moments I hurt him by being kind of emotionally unavailable at times and confused on what I wanted, but I was honest. And so I think in this widowhood journey, I can't remember, Becky, what did Richard say?
What did he say? It was, if it's not working, you got to bounce.
Yeah, you got to bounce.
You got to bounce.
Yeah. And so in this widowhood journey, you know, I wasn't working for him, to be honest. Like, I don't know that he was ever super happy with me 100%. I think he was trying really hard too. And so you just got to, if it's not working, you just got to bounce.
That's good advice. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah. Richard is a genius tonight. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier and Becky's like, that's true in everything. You just got to remember that every day. If it's not working, just bounce.
Yep.
Doesn't feel good.
It's kind of freeing.
Yeah.
I think like the widowhood has kind of taught us that too, mm-hmm. right? Because like you realize how precious things are, hence taking crazy trips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hence decisions you make. Hence just like, this isn't working. This isn't good for me. So it's not working. I got to bounce. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's like super freeing. It feels really good.
Yeah.
So thank you, Richard.
Yes, Richard.
Good advice.
I also feel like you can honor what you learned and honor the time that you did have. Like mm-hmm. you've probably learned a lot in your first relationship after mm-hmm. the death of your husband.
Yes, I
and
did.
You can take that moving forward. And so you can honor what you've learned through being with McLovin and respect that time, but then also know that you are not looking to settle. Life is too short. And right. so you need to choose yourself and choose what makes you the happiest.
So true, Sarah. I feel like for me, like the hardest thing was like, I don't want anyone to think that he's a bad man. He is not. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. It wasn't for me, mm-hmm. right? And so I had to make that decision. I could have settled. I really could have said, okay, let me open up my heart and let's do get married someday, not today, but let's do that. Let's put that on our goal list. It was so easy. I could have done that, but I didn't. I had to make the hardest decision to go back to that level of loneliness after widowhood. And after you lose your spouse and there's just that complete emptiness and you're like, who's going to fill this void anymore? That used to be Eric. I took care of him. He was there for me. He loved me unconditionally. But you know what? It's not, and I can't change that. It's just like I talk about, you lose control, right? I can't change another human. And so I just had to make the best decision for me and the kids. And I do feel a level of loneliness for sure without him, but that's okay. I'll get over it.
You also have proven over time that you're a badass woman.
Thank
that
you.
That can
dance like a motherfucker.
Dance, but also like take care of your shit. You yes. can be alone. Like yes. nobody does it perfectly. There's moments where you're crying on the kitchen floor or mm-hmm. crying in your car or don't know how to use your weed eater. But at the end of the day, you've got happy, healthy kids. You're happy. You're healthy. Like you can manage your life. And so while being alone can be hard in moments, you want to find the person that adds to your life as opposed to someone that is negatively impacting you. Right. And being able to choose, I would rather be on my own because I know I can do that successfully rather than settle for someone that isn't 100% the right fit for me. I think that that's also really empowering.
Yeah. I'm in a good space with the decision at this point. Poor Allie's had to hear me.
It's okay.
Every morning, here. Cry on the phone, like, what am I going to do? And, you know, talk me through that. But we're here today and we're moving forward and that's cool. And I know what I want and I know what I need now for sure. Mm-hmm. I think that's most important. I learned a ton. Mm-hmm. I try to go into every situation learning something new. It's important to me. Like how to put on my underwear.
So don't let her forget her underwear or her sunscreen. The two things I'm taking
I didn't know
away.
I needed to remind you of your underwear. I learned something new today.
I feel well, like we need to set a reminder on your phone every morning.
Crystal, underwear. Put on underwear.
Oh my goodness.
After you wash your butt.
We have a story that ties nicely into that coming
oh
up too.
Oh my gosh.
What? We do?
Oh,
we do.
Yes, we do.
I can't wait to hear these stories.
Yeah, should we jump into it?
Yeah, I got one more quick update for you because I got my passport. So, baby, we're traveling the country.
Okay.
So it's a perfect time to segue into these two. Last goal I have to achieve this year is learn to play the banjo. Watch out, world.
Yes.
That's up next.
Oh my God, you and Paul could be in a band together.
Does Paul play the banjo?
I don't know. He plays everything or he tries to play everything.
Can he play? Can he teach me how to play
yes,
the banjo?
Yes, he can totally teach you how to play the banjo. When we were on our trip, he called me and he's like, I got a piano. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Come again, bro.
Do we play the piano? Nobody in your family plays a piano. And he's like, but I got like a deal. And it was, you know, so I come back home and there's a piano in our basement along with guitars and a drum set and other things. So he'll teach you to play the banjo.
Okay.
If he doesn't, just take the damn piano with you.
Put the piano in your car.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, ladies, tell us about Morocco. Inspire us.
Well, Morocco came about because it was my 40th birthday this year. And I was like, well, you only turn 40 once. I want to do something amazing. I have always loved to travel and was trying to figure out like where I wanted to go, who I was going to be able to go on this incredible trip with. And Becky and I over winter break, like between Christmas and New Year's, mm-hmm. that time frame, had a brunch. And first we show up at this restaurant and found out that they had a tower of champagne. We saw that on the menu and we were like, I mean, like we can't not get that.
It's literally a tower and they have like a spout and you put on your, like you put your drink or your glass under it and just do that. And then they give you juice on the side. So it could either be like heavy on the champagne or heavy on the orange juice or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, that's how it started.
Oh my gosh.
It's very much a choose your own adventure kind of, like you get options for different juice. So like we ordered the champagne tower.
Wow.
It just reminded me of something that you would get in Vegas.
Totally.
You know, mm-hmm. except it was on your table.
In West Maple. Yes. It was great. And so I start talking to her about like, I really want to do this trip, but I'm not sure who's going to be able to go with me because I knew I wanted to go to Morocco. Mm-hmm. There were a bunch of different reasons why Morocco was the place, but there's so many beautiful things to see. I knew it wasn't going to be a 5-day trip. It was going to be a long trip, a long journey. And so I was like, I mean, so many people in my life have families and kids and responsibilities that they can't just gallivant around the globe for mm-hmm. 2 weeks. Well, turns out after a champagne tower, Becky's in. She is at a girl.
I was going to be in before, but it helped to escalate.
Way to take one for the team, sis.
I sure did.
And so we made these plans and we talked about it. And she was like, I need to talk to Paul first.
Well, and we made that decision at brunch. And then the next day I'm like, did we just make plans to go to Morocco? Like, I'm going to probably need to tell my husband about this. And I will say, like, Paul is amazing, right? Like, he's not the type who's like, ask me for permission or make me feel guilty. Or he doesn't do any of that. When I'm probably not as nice about it, where I'm like, you've been gone for like 3 weeks. Where are you? You know what I mean?
Right.
And he's like, yeah, go. I'm incredibly jealous, but have the best time. Mm-hmm. It was never even a question. It was like, I got this. Go have a great time. So I told Sarah. And we're like, let's book this immediately before he changes his mind.
Totally. Totally. And so we found a company, got everything booked. We did a private tour where throughout the time that we were there, we had the same driver and guide the whole time. So we got to know him. On the way, when we started our trip, I don't know how much either of you have flown in the last 6 months. There's a lot happening in the travel industry right now. And it was a bit of a shit show.
Poor Al got fucked hard.
Yeah.
You were going to Denver.
Yeah. We've just been had really bad luck flying to Colorado.
Yeah.
And it's like a direct flight.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're not stopping over anywhere.
No. Mm-mm. Anyways, I hear you.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, like Becky and I, for the next 6 months, all we did was everything we bought, clothes, it was for Morocco. Mm-hmm. This was my like tagline for everything. Like boxes of Amazon broke. Would show up every day for Morocco.
Did you just have one bag for 2 weeks or like how did you pack?
We were good. We each had a carry-on bag and then we had a duffel or a backpack or something. But like we carried on the whole time, I'm so glad we did.
Smart.
No, we didn't check. Bags. We did not check.
I don't know if Crystal can do that.
Where would I put all my clothes?
I know.
I'd have to wear them on the plane.
You could have like a Joey from Friends moment where you're wearing all the clothes.
I always say, my clothes aren't that big. I don't need that much space. Why do I have this huge bag? Oh my
God. I will say too, we did a good job of like being able to swap out on each other's outfits.
Oh, nice.
And
oh,
so brilliant. That's where we could wear each other's clothes and kind of share what we brought.
I love that.
We didn't have to pack. We didn't each have to pack for 2 weeks. And like, I mean, did laundry in the hotel room. We brought a clothesline and detergent and like, it was a plan.
Sarah had it all planned. She's like, I have like the washer sheets. I have this like dry rack thing. I'm like, perfect. And then we did do like a trial try on where I basically brought over my entire closet to her house. And it was kind of like, do we like this? Do we not like this?
That's amazing.
Like I was 14 again. It was kind of fun, actually.
We had so much fun. And so like the day of, we get to the airport and we're so excited. And Becky did the most amazing thing where she was like, so I got us an upgrade for first class. Aww. As like a like happy birthday. We're going to have this amazing trip. Aww. And then what happened?
Well, we got upgraded on our first flight to Omaha and then we were delayed leaving Omaha, which then meant we missed our flight from Chicago and then we missed our flight from Chicago to Dulles and then Dulles to Lisbon and Lisbon to Marrakesh.
Wow.
So we had to spend the night in Chicago and it was messy. Luckily, Sarah had a bunch of like points and stuff and got us a hotel. So we got booked the next day. But let me go back for a second. We were at the airline talking to him, like, well, we can't get out for 2 more days.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, yes, you can.
And so try hard.
Sarah's talking to this person, and I'm like Googling like hell on my phone, like, okay, looking at other airlines. What else can we do? And they're like, we can't help you. I'm like, yes, you can. This other airline that's your competitor can get us there. So they did do that after like we kind of had to prove it to him, but we lost a full day in Marrakesh, which kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And we didn't get our upgraded.
Yeah.
First flight, but that's okay.
At that point though, we were just happy to get there because initially we thought we were going to lose 2 days. Mm-hmm. And so it was stressful. But what I will say is the reason Becky and I are so great to travel with each other is when I started to get to a point where I could feel my level of frustration rising with this customer service agent who, shout out to everybody in customer service, because it is hard, especially when you're traveling and you're tired. I'm sure that this poor individual just had people treating them horribly all day. And I felt myself start to get frustrated, and Becky jumps in, right? And then that let me calm down and kind of get my wits about myself. And so we complimented each other so well in the moments of, like, when she was tired and frustrated, I started to take over and direct what we were doing, and vice versa.
And teamwork, so, ladies.
Yeah. And that was the way it was the whole trip.
It was, yeah.
Too. I mean, you're with somebody for 2 weeks. Like, that's a long time. So,
could you handle me for 2 weeks?
Yes, of course I could.
I could handle you for four.
Oh.
You guys need to teach us how to do this.
Okay. I would say the best thing that we did was the desert, Sahara.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, this was a couple days into our trip. And so the first thing that surprised me that I learned, which is, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to go. When you hear about the Sahara, you hear about the desert, you picture like these big sand dune mountains everywhere. The Sahara isn't all of that. Like, that's only in very small parts. And so that was a learning curve. And we get to where our camp is, and we're going to ride camels in. And you guys, camels are much wider than horses. And so if you've ridden a horse and then you get off of riding a horse, your legs are sore. Camels are so much wider. And so your legs are so much more sore.
Mm.
And
you're like doing the splits? Like,
I mean, a little bit. They're also like not as steady. I would say like a horse is a little bit more of a steady ride as opposed to a camel, which kind of like is just, I don't know. It's so you're awkward. Using muscles like to hold on, so you're not sliding off.
It's like your whole body's sore.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. And so our guide has suggested we, instead of doing the camels the next morning, which I 100% could not have done, by the way, we were going to do quad bikes out instead. Fun. And this, like, that's Becky is the queen of the quad bikes.
It was, I mean, like the camel ride was cool, right? Like, I'm like, okay, I did it. It took an hour. It's cool. Like, check it off my list. It was great, but like, didn't want to do it again. I will say, like, the place that we stayed, though, we were pretty bougie, and we did this like Bedouin tent thing.
My gosh,
it was freaking gorgeous. And then they had like some locals come in, and like there was music and drums and everything. And like, it was just like something out of a movie.
Wow.
It was amazing. And then the next morning we did the quad bikes, and it was just Sarah and I and the guy who was, what was his name? Was it Mustafa too?
I think it was Mustafa.
Who was the same name as our tour guide. It was so much fun.
Oh, awesome.
So Sarah's like very like safety first. And so
way to go.
I was terrified.
Oh, she was terrified.
Terrified. I was white knuckling it the whole time.
And so she's like following the tracks at like the bare minimum speed that the guy is going in front. And the tour guide is like holding his phone out while he's driving, like trying to capture us on video.
Fun.
And I'm like in the background, like Mario Karting this shit. Like,
wee! Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to find like bumps to like go in the air or whatever. And then at one point, Sarah like waves me on to go in front of her. So then like I floor and then at one point, Sarah looks at me and she's like, she does like three. She just shows me like three fingers. And I'm like, I'm like, cool. Hi. I don't know what that means.
And like, I knew that she was like trying to do like tricks and like get some air and all of this. And so I was signaling to her, you just did three wheels. Like one of your wheels was up. I just saw you do three wheels. And she's looking at me like, thumbs up, like, cool, three. Like, I don't know what this means.
I wouldn't know either.
You wouldn't. You'd be so lost. But she would be Mario Karting.
I would totally be Becky.
Oh, yeah. She would be Becky and I would be Sarah for sure.
I'd be like, Al, are you sure I can do this? Yes, Crystal, go!
100%.
Yeah, that's how that would go down. That is so cool, you guys.
Yeah. That was really fun.
That was so fun. Yeah. And then afterwards, after the desert, in my mind, I have this great idea to go to a hammam, which is a traditional Moroccan spa and bathhouse. And so I'm thinking, like, you just stayed in the desert. We slept through a sandstorm, even though we had this tent that was lovely, there was sand everywhere. And so I'm like, what? This is going to be amazing. Like, go and get this amazing treatment.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they do is they wash you in this hammam, right? And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, they do this for royalty. Like they want, like princesses used to like have people give them baths. If it's good enough for a princess, it's definitely something that I want to do. I'd also seen in the research that I had done, if you wanted to have a more modest experience, just wear your swimsuit and that's fine. So that's what Becky and I are going to do. We get to this hammam and we wanted to do a traditional one. We didn't want to go to like a tourist one. We wanted to do the real thing. So we go into
this room.
Oh no.
So we go into this room and it's like, I don't know, like marble slab tables, right? Mm-hmm. So Sarah's like laying on one side of it. I'm laying on the other. And in the middle, there's like a bath with like a little fountain. It's like pretty and stuff. And there's these like little like buckets that are kind of standing by. So these two women come in and speak like no English at all. And we didn't expect anyone to, but like without saying anything, they pull both of our swimsuits off.
And Ellie would die.
Sarah and I are just like, we're like awkwardly staring.
I would die, to be honest.
Across the room, like,
did not know how to react. And again, like, they don't speak English. All they're doing is like sit up, stand, lay down, roll over. I mean, that's really it.
Like a dog.
Uh-huh. Like a dog. Uh-huh. And then they gave us these like papery, like thong things to put on. This is after the swimsuits come off and we've already made awkward eye contact, right? And I'm like, I feel like the modesty has gone out the window, but sure, let's put on this weird
paper thong.
I was like, why? And then like,
while you're taking a bath, like,
so weird, Allie. I'm like, we're just like, what is the point of this? And the only reason this is important is like when they're washing the scrubs and all of the different things off of you, they go to this, you know, pool and take buckets of water, just dump them on you. And at one point they pull out the thong thing and just dump it down like your friend's side, and you're just like, oh, okay, that just happened.
Oh my god. Okay. I would die. Like, that is not okay.
I'm already dying.
Well, and then there was a moment where, you know, they had done this exfoliating scrub, right? And they're really scrubbing hard and they're trying to rinse all of this. It's like almost like a salt scrub. They're trying to rinse this off you. She has me stand. Okay, and so I'm making awkward eye contact with Becky.
You're butt naked, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Minus
the paper thong on.
Okay.
And then, so I'm standing, and then this woman takes her hand and just kind of smacks the inside of my thighs so that I could stretch my legs out a little bit further so she could really rinse everything. So that when you were saying reminder to clean, to make sure your butt is clean, that's what I want you to think about, is the woman in the Moroccan spa who's making sure that she really rinses everything. They were
very thorough.
But it was very awkward. And Becky are just like, laughing, but also trying to not make eye contact we're both effectively naked. Having people wash us, we're both super uncomfortable. But like the whole whole situation is so funny and absurd.
It was.
That like we just can't get past this.
I love this story. I don't know.
Well, and one of the scrubs, like they did it on your face, right? And so it's in my eye and I can't see. And so all of a sudden, like they're throwing water on your face and it's going up my nose.
Oh.
And I'm like coughing. I'm like, is this like what waterboarding is like? I'm looking at Sarah and we're both like, can't breathe, can't see, totally naked.
And like, also,
I would be laughing the whole time. I could not keep it straight.
Oh no, you would die.
So you're naked on this marble and your skin also somewhat sticks.
Oh,
so it makes effectively like a farting noise every time you move. So then we're laying there trying to like awkwardly shift. And then you're like, we're just laughing like 14-year-old boys at this point.
But
like,
one of us, I can't remember which one made the noise first, the farting noise. And so we're like crying with laughter at this point. So her and I are both like moving up and down on the marble to like make as many farting noises as we can.
Teenagers.
We were here to like 14 year old.
Oh my gosh.
I love this
That's
story.
That's hilarious.
This is great.
So that is the hammam experience that we had in Fez.
My gosh.
And here's the thing. It was absolutely authentic, but at the same time, it was just hilarious. I'm glad we had the experience. I don't know that I would go again. But
to Morocco?
No, to the hammam.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We're not going to a hammam.
Yeah. But like, you know, I'm glad it's to say that we story. Had that experience. It makes for an amazing story.
I could wash my own butt. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I set a reminder on my phone tonight.
Wash your butt.
Did you guys keep the paper thongs?
No, but we did get to keep the mitt that they used to exfoliate and scrub us down.
Oh, okay.
So
did you keep yours?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I tossed my home. I'm like, I have some great stories. I don't know if I want to keep the glove.
I still use it to exfoliate like my skin just like once a week.
Well, at least you exfoliate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Right.
This is a great souvenirs. Story.
It was fun.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
I will say, I think that the trip ended. Well, I guess there's so much we could talk about, but yeah. I know
yeah,
we had like
going.
Time.
What's
stuff,
the
but,
next
like,
what's the next thing you did?
I will say before, I don't know if you want to talk about Chef Shawan or the air balloon thing, but one thing I will say that like I had a very special like moment with Garner on this trip. Mm-hmm. So when we were doing, this wasn't at the hammam. That would be weird.
That would be Sarah,
not Garner. Okay, that would be weird. He's like, okay, girls. We were in Fez and we went to a souk, which is like those outdoor spice markets with the tanneries mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. And so they were selling these like copper like bracelets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And actually I have two of them. So like they were explaining them to me and the copper you're supposed to wear on your left wrist. And it like turns your wrist green. It's supposed to get into mm-hmm. your blood and it's supposed to keep your blood healthy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy shit. Like, cause Garner's disease was a blood disorder.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh my God, I'm buying all of the bracelets, give them to me.
Give me every last copper bracelet.
Give me all of them. So I wear them and then Sarah got one too. And then I bought one for Garner's brothers and mm-hmm. his, and then their wives, and then for my sister-in-law, his mm-hmm. sister. So that was like
that's
one
really
moment
cool.
where I'm like, this is cool. Like,
really
thank
cool.
you for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, before we go to the other story.
Does
that
it
was,
turn your wrist green though? I'm curious.
This one does.
You've seen it?
Yeah, I've
a little
seen
bit.
It.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's a little bit of that.
Not that that would bother me. I'm just curious if that.
We did find out you can take lemon or lemon juice and polish it. Mm. And so that also helps to like get over time. It will kind of get like corrosion and crud on it. But like lemon juice cleans it and then makes it super shiny. So.
Mm. And Paul was telling me, he's like, it's actually that's it getting into your bloodstream is like the green part of it working. I don't know the dynamics. I could totally be wrong. Any medical professionals out there, but I'm going to choose to believe that. Cause I thought that was kind of cool. But if
it
I die, you like
Garner and who cares?
Yes.
Make
exactly.
up all the shit you want.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. So.
Yeah. Sometimes I think people think I'm crazy when I talk about these signs that are Eric showing me and they're like, really? You think so? Like, how do you think that happened? I'm like, you know what? Shut the fuck up. It happened.
Yeah.
Let Amen. Me believe what I want. If yep. this
exactly.
gives me comfort and yeah. like a moment of happiness
exactly.
in this, like let me have that moment.
Yeah.
Give
yes.
me those. Well, I like to call them poke moments. Mm-hmm. So like yep. give me those little poke moments because those are like still bring us such joy.
Yeah.
I had, sorry to like, can
yeah,
I
keep going?
Can I like go off
yeah.
of the trip for a quick second
yeah.
for a poke moment? Because yeah. I haven't seen you girls in way too long. I yes. was at the Field of Dreams, like where they filmed the movie mm-hmm. for a baseball tournament. Shocking, like earlier this year. And all I wanted to do was like get on the actual field and like play catch with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another baseball mom, Kelly, who's amazing. And she was taking like videos and pictures of us doing it. And there is these like orbs that are with us the entire
yeah.
time. And she's like, it's with you the entire time. It follows you. And in these moments, I felt like Garner was totally there. And like, it was our whole family. Like Paul was there, mm-hmm. the kids, myself, the
yeah.
baseball team. And I was like, somebody was like, oh, that's the reflection of the light from the camera, the sun. I'm like, I don't care. Take it back.
Go like, home, Karen. It's my dead husband.
Right. And so I wish it was so that moment.
Yeah.
And I think we had one of those in Morocco too.
Yeah, we did. So after we left, well, first of all, I would say the hotel that we stayed at in Fez. They're called Riyadhs in Morocco. Old. And it was, you know, 1600s.
Gorgeous.
It was so gorgeous, so ornate. But it's old. You're going to expect that, like, there's some other creatures that are living in there. And, like, as long as I don't see them, it's fine. So we get there day one, and there was a centipede maybe on the wall. And Becky, like the badass that she is, was like, I got this. So she like pulls over a table, climbs up on top of the I'm like behind her spotting her because like I'm not going to kill this bug, but I'm fully there to support if it jumps and attacks her and she falls and I need to like catch her. So she kills the bug, takes care of it. So the next day we get home from our hammam experience and we go into the bathroom and you guys, there is the biggest cockroach
I've
ever seen on the wall. And immediately it was like, I'm out. Like, I can't kill this. And Becky looks at it and you can see she's thinking. She's like, I want to, but it's really big.
Well, then I'm like, I think they're fast. So if I miss it, is it going to jump on me? Is it going to like scatter off and then I can't find it? I didn't know what to do. And then after what, like a couple, like a minute, I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't kill it.
Uh-huh. So she scoped, she watched the cockroach to make sure we knew where
like, if it moved, what will I do?
So I went and found like a guy that works at the hotel who did not speak English. And I'm trying to explain through like sign language how like that there's this bug and can you come kill it? And like, wait, we need help.
So how did you describe this cockroach? Like,
I was like, there's a bug. And I just kind of
get a video like, of her through, doing
like where I'm using my hands and like, there's this bug. It's really big. Like, can you snap? Like, can you come help us? And he just was laughing. And then finally he got it and he's like, oh, kill. And I was like, yes, please. And so he comes back with a shoe and he goes into the bathroom and all of a sudden he kind of nods his head like,
you did the right thing.
It's a big one. And so Becky and I are outside of the bathroom because, again, I don't know if it's going to jump. I don't know if they fly. Like, I just don't want any part of it. And he comes out and was like, you know, thumbs up. He goes dead and then walks out of the room. Becky showed a picture to Paul. And
I sent a picture to Paul of it. And he goes, oh, my God, shoot it. And Paul's like not one to be shy about like, you know, killing bugs or taking him outside or whatever. And he's like, no, that's a really big one. I'm like, right, because I brought my gun on my trip to Morocco. Right. Yeah. I forgot
my pistol. I forgot.
Oh, okay.
What was he thinking?
Shoot. What was I thinking? Exactly. I needed room for my dress.
We'll get rid of the gun, insert three more outfits.
I would like clothes instead. Thank you.
But I feel like that's like such another example of like, maybe we don't handle everything perfectly, but we handled it and we got it taken care of.
That's right.
And through the language barriers and all, like, you know, we got it done. And then we stayed there that night. It wasn't like, you know, we wanted to change rooms or everything.
Nope, we just sat with one eye open.
Although we did, every time I would go into the bathroom after that, I'd turn the light on first and like stand outside as like, give them a moment, run to your hiding places, and then I'm going to walk in. Like, as long as I don't see you, I just don't need to know about it.
That's hilarious. Man. Oh my gosh, you guys, creepy. I saw a big spider today. My grandma's in a nursing home. She just recently moved to assisted living. My kids see this spider. They freak out and I'm like, I've got this. And so I walk over to the spider to kill it. The spider jumps at me and then tears off. And my grandma, bless her heart, she's 93. She's like, he's fine. I just will exist with the spider. Like, atta girl. But I did not kill the spider. But to your point, we might not always do things right. Mm-hmm. But that's on us and we're cool with it, but we're doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at us, all of us, like, totally different stages in our life, totally different stages in our grief journey, everything else that we have going on. And we're doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm most proud of. And I want listeners to know, however you're doing it, that's fine. You're doing it and keep doing it because time will heal. Time does heal in this grief journey. I can say that now. When we first started our podcast, I couldn't say that because I didn't know that. I didn't know how it was going to go, but it helps to heal in some ways. It just changes things. Mm-hmm. And if that change, you call that healing, then that's healing. I call that healing. But however that changes you, just embrace it and run with it. But don't be afraid to feel your emotions during that time either, because they're still going to be there. And just because you're not crying doesn't mean that you're over what happened. And just because you are crying doesn't mean you're not dealing with it, because you are. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things are A-okay. Keep doing what you're doing.
Throughout the whole trip, we kept reflecting just about how excited and proud we were that we were on this trip, that we were doing this, how we think both Nick and Garner would be looking down and being so proud of us, although we could have used a little bit more help with the airline situation. Mm-hmm. We did look at, you know, we kept kind of looking up to the sky being like, all right, guys, we've talked before about how we feel like there are guardian angels. And mm-hmm. so we're like, can you do a little something to put in a word with somebody exactly. upstairs mm-hmm. to like make sure we get our connections? Barring that, we kept reflecting back, like each activity every day, we were like, oh, this is our favorite day. And then we do something different. And then like that mm-hmm. was our favorite day. But how proud and how excited they would be. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, every day when Becky would talk to Paul, he was so amazing, so excited for mm-hmm. her, the experience that she had, us being able to do it together. He was so supportive. He's juggling like baseball schedules and birthday parties and everything on his own. And never once did he show anything but love and support. And so cool. that's the other thing of like, I feel like we had so much love throughout the trip, which was great.
It's true. Yeah. He didn't, like I said earlier, he didn't make me feel bad for like any of it. Cause you know how that goes, right? When your husband's gone, I don't mean like they're forever gone, but like on a trip mm-hmm. or something. And you're like, okay, now I'm stuck dealing with all this on my own. Mm-hmm. Like he did not make me feel bad for a second. And it was like the busiest time in baseball season too.
Aww.
He was like, I'm never going to another game.
Ever he was again. Done.
He was done. And he had a lot of help from like my mom, my dad mm-hmm. and like our baseball family were amazing. But yeah, it was mm-hmm. nice. And he just wanted to hear about everything. And he was so proud of the quad bike experience. I got to sled down a hill in a
snowboard.
Thank you. Snowboard.
Cool.
And a sand dune, and like that was cool. So he was just like, he wanted to hear all about it. So he yeah. was, he's the best. Mm-hmm. He's That's so great.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then we ended the trip doing a hot air balloon ride at dawn over the Atlas Mountains back in Marrakesh. And Becky was talking about the orbs earlier. And so many of our balloon pictures had little orbs in it, multiple, right? And so it was just very much like they were with us in that moment, having that experience. It was so peaceful. Yeah. It was one of the most amazing things that we did, but it was so peaceful being up there. Like I thought I'd be nervous. I don't love heights. And I wasn't scared at all. It was just this like tranquil, beautiful experience to see the sunrise over the mountains and, you know, once in a lifetime.
Wow.
Thing.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds That's so cool. nice, guys.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Highly recommend Morocco yes. to a trip for anyone.
Wow. You'll have to send us your like itinerary. Maybe we could mm-hmm. share it with our audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some pictures.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
We need to put that in a random generator.
Oh.
Allie and I use a random generator to decide where we're going. Like,
put in. Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
All the ideas and then just click go.
How many ideas do you have right now?
Well, these were national parks.
Okay.
So we want to hit the national parks. So,
last year we went to Zion mm-hmm. with Jamie and Justine. Mm-hmm. And then after that trip, we all put in into the random generator where we wanted to go. I don't think they were all national parks, but in America, I'd yeah. say, US.
Yeah.
Anyways, the generator selected Yosemite. So mm-hmm. we're going there
mm-hmm.
in October
oh,
as our girls' trip.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm very
Good
excited.
For you guys.
But now that I have a passport, we're going to go further.
Yes, not in October.
But not in October. Maybe not next year, but maybe the next year.
Yeah.
I'll put it on the goal list.
Okay.
I'll tell you a real quick funny story before we wrap up tonight. Sarah came over last night and I was just giving her a tour of my house and I showed her my closet. She goes, this is amazing. She goes, you should see Becky's closet. It's all color coordinated and it's like all perfectly put together. And I said, there's a system here, Sarah. And I mean, were you proud of the way I defined that?
It was like once you talk through, it's like, oh, yes, there's clearly a system here.
Oh, it's systemic.
Like, yeah.
And then from the closet, then it just moves over to the blue chair in the corner for my favorites, for like what I'm planning out for the week. Mm-hmm. But.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
I love this so much. It's so fun to do this.
Yeah.
And just to see you girls.
You. Yeah. It's so
like
good to
see you guys too. I love it.
I wish we saw each other more.
Yeah. Me too. And I will say really quick, like for those of you that can't see what's happening, because it is a podcast. Well, two-thirds. Sorry, really quick. I got to pick my mom real quick. She's like, you know, it's a podcast, right? Like, why did you get all dressed up into your hair? I'm like, I don't know, because I wanted to. But more importantly, Allie and my kids are out playing like in the lobby room. Mm-hmm. And it's so cute to like just see them, I don't know, hang out. We talked about that, I think, at like the first one I ever did about like how kids deal with. And it's just nice to see them and like kind of integrate with each other too.
Your kids just like wrapped their arms around my kids. Mm-hmm. And my oldest, Gus, is just, I could just tell, just like, oh, this is so cool. I love it so much.
He's an intuitive kid. He knows. Mm-hmm. It is funny how my buddy Jim came into town a few weeks ago and he's a widower and his kids and my kids kind of did the same thing. It's like, this is unspoken. We know what you know and you know what we know. And it's just a different level of comfort, mm-hmm. I think, in that journey. I do have one more thing that I was going to bring up tonight. We don't need to talk much about it, but I was talking to my grandma today. She's such a badass. She lost her husband. She's lost her daughter in the same year as her husband. She lost another daughter. She lost my mom, so a daughter-in-law. She lost Eric. And she just perseveres every day. Super strong in her faith. Just this total badass. I love my grandma so much. But we were talking about grief and she's like, it just takes your time away from you. And I'm like, God, that's so true. Grief stole 4 years of my kids growing up. I got a little like fussy today about that. Mm-hmm. Fussy isn't the right word. I think that's what caused me to want to go write today. But I was like, from 2019, when Eric got sick, until 2022, when my healing journey finally began, I lost 4 years of being a mom. And I don't think my kids remember that. I don't think they feel it. But I kind of feel like I'm reflecting on that now. I'm like, was I the best mom? But then I have badass kids. So I don't know. Do you guys feel that way?
Every day. Are you kidding? Every single day. But I bet you anything, and I don't know this for sure, but I think our kids are going to look at us when they're older, be like, damn, my mom was so freaking strong. And I know we hate hearing that from like mm-hmm. other people sometimes.
Right.
But I feel like our kids are going to be like, they are so proud. I worry about screwing my kids up every single day. Mm-hmm. Did I let them know too much? Did I hide too much? Did I say something? Did mm-hmm. I do something stupid? Was I not, you know, present when I should have been? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think we're doing a really good job. Yeah. We're wearing underwear every day.
Butt's getting washed.
We're putting sunscreen on.
Yeah.
Like,
I do brush my teeth twice a day for sure. I never forget that.
I feel the same way. I feel like, am I doing everything right? And mm-hmm. I'm not. But I look at them and I see so much joy. And I know that if they're happy, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just proud of us. Nobody else has had to go through what we've had to go through. And I don't know. I give myself grace. I've learned to give myself mm-hmm. grace through this process.
Like Craig says, give yourself grace. Eat a pizza like a taco.
Okay. That's probably one of like my favorite pieces of advice. My friend Andrea said that to me when Garner died, was like, give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
And it didn't register until later. And I was like, I probably say it all the time.
That's like a new thing for me. Yes.
It's powerful.
It
is powerful. Like, let yourself be. Like, mm-hmm. it's fine. Yeah. Whatever happens. I think that is what widowhood teaches us too. It's like, it's that control I talk about all the time. You've lost it. So give yourself grace. Like, if you're fighting control, you're going to make yourself miserable. Mm-hmm. Give yourself grace. It's fine.
Yep.
Nobody cares.
Even if you didn't handle it perfectly, you got it handled. And, you know, even if you make mistakes throughout life, like, you learn, you move forward, you keep going. Like, none of us have quit. So I think that that's also something to celebrate.
Amen to that.
Thank you, girls.
Yeah, ladies. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for being such a great support system, too. Yes. I love you guys.
Mm-hmm. Right back at you.
Thanks for having us back.
All right. Signing out from the Hot Widows Club podcast this evening. Please check us out at Hot Widows Club podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, if you have concerns, keep them to yourself. Just kidding. You can share at hotwidowsclubpodcast@gmail.com. Love you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.